The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Reacting all morning long to the Packers' loss to the Vikings yesterday in Minneapolis, 27-25. Packers Outsider weighing in on the YouTube page saying, poll question should be, would you be happier if the Packers just declined their playoff berth? Because it seems like a lot of you would say yes. No one is saying decline your playoff berth. We are simply saying you had to win yesterday, I think, to convince people that you belonged in the top tier, the upper echelon of the NFC. Now, the way that it works out, barring a Dallas win, right, Gabe? Did I get that correct now? It's
correct.
Dallas that needs to win in order for the Packers to move into the sixth seed. You are taking on Philadelphia in your first game of the postseason. And Philadelphia right now looks like a juggernaut, okay? If you're going to look at the Minnesota Vikings roster, top to bottom, guys, and say complete, 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 what the hell would you say about the Philadelphia Eagles roster? Gabe, is Philadelphia better than Minnesota?
I think that they are, especially when they're completely healthy, even though they do have one more loss than Minnesota does right now. But their wide receivers are right up there, maybe not quite as good, but right below them. The running back, obviously, is incredibly special. He's the best running back in the league. I mean, and yesterday, it didn't matter who was playing quarterback for them against the Cowboys. They didn't have Jalen Hurts, and they still put up 40 points with their second and third string quarterback because even Kenny Pickett left that game with an injury. So that's how talented that team is, and they've got the number one defense in the league. Points
the
and
difference
yards.
Is their defense. They're number one, like you said, Gabe. They're number one in the league. They can create pressure with four. They're just a good team. They're tough. They're tough, and I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. I don't see Josh Jacobs running for over 100. I just don't. And right now, I don't have that confidence that this team, and be it Jordan or be it the receivers and tight ends, I just don't think they can throw for 372 a game. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't seen it. Haven't felt it. But number one defense, it's going to be a problem. Yeah, not saying they can't do it because Dallas, I don't know. We have a different feeling going into Dallas? I think I did. When they went on the road to Dallas, I'm like, be tough, but Dallas doesn't win playoff games. I don't really have that feeling going into Philly right now.
No, I mean, that's been a long narrative for the Cowboys for sure, and that's been something with Dak Prescott. So I can completely understand how you would feel that way. But if they win that game yesterday, they're 3-4 against teams in the playoffs, and you're going, okay, yeah, I feel good about them potentially winning three games on the road. Because they've beaten three playoff teams. They won on the road yesterday, and you'd feel different than, well, they were kind of run out of the building for the first three quarters, had a frantic comeback to make it look a little bit closer, and now they're 2-5 versus playoff teams this year. Yeah, that just doesn't...
Right, and as I said, the frantic comeback, guys, the fact that they were able to close it to two means nothing to me. I give them no credit for that. That doesn't earn them any stripes because you didn't pull it off. You didn't finish it. If you're gonna wage a comeback, you got to complete the comeback. You got to walk out of there with the victory. Otherwise, it's just, as I mentioned earlier, you're facing a little softer coverage. The Vikings feel like they got this thing wrapped up. Guys aren't playing with the same level of intensity. You're taking advantage of it. That's what it looks like to me if you don't finish it.
Well, you never got the ball back. You know, that comes down, you know, we've been talking about the defense a lot today. That comes down to the defense. All right, you've been able to make this comeback. You've been able to get a couple of stops. Now, when it matters the most, can you get that stop to give Jordan Love and your offense an opportunity to get in a field goal range and steal a victory? And they didn't. They couldn't get the stop.
Yeah. At some point, the Toads have to look at the numbers. And that's what the last texter was. He's a Toad. He can't look at the numbers and be objective, you know, because this kind of felt like the Detroit game. Even though that game was close, if you look at the numbers... It's not close.
Well, here's...
It's 441 to 271 is not close. 9-minute different time of possession is not close. 26 first downs to 17 is not close. Look at the numbers. That's what matters. And they look at the score and like, well, they only lost by two.
And listen, guys, there's a few things we haven't even addressed. We haven't addressed the doink and the doink. That's 3 points, 3 points. 57-yard, 43-yard miss by their field goal kicker. We haven't addressed that unbelievable catch, not catch, by Justin Jefferson. One arm, they were saying Randy Moss-esque, that was negated by a holding call by the Vikings. I mean, those are things that also could have made this really bad, could have made this way out of reach. And so the Vikings, obviously, they weren't perfect by any means, but they are more complete. They are a complete-er team. And I want to get to the coach disparity, because there are a lot of people weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, and a lot of people weighing in on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show on our ESPN Milwaukee YouTube show, talking about Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur, Sean saying, head coach sets the tone. He said that they were tight. That's on them. That from Jay Dome. A lot of people critical of Matt LaFleur yesterday. Let's take a listen to Tausch, who was on Green Bay game night, also talking about the head coach.
I thought Kevin O'Connell ate LaFleur's lunch today. LaFleur has got to, I love his passion. He's got to get himself under, I feel like he lets his emotions get the better of him. Too many times. He is just over there and just, you see and feel. Players want to see calmness. You want to see a coach go crazy from time to time. You can't be every third down that doesn't happen or every penalty. It can't be every time something bad happens, there's a blank storm. Like, there has to be some kind of, all right,
I want to
this
join
is going to be all right.
I want to be vice president of this club. I want to
We're
join
gonna
this club.
Handle this.
Homer obviously weighing in there as well. Do you agree, Chu?
Yeah. I just thought the formula was the same yesterday, and it has been for the last couple games of like, hey, let's start out with Josh Jacobs. Let's start out. Run the ball, throw on the ball, do this, and then yesterday it didn't really work. He had the fumble early, which I don't know. Did that affect him psychologically or no? Because he typically doesn't fumble. And that was a big fumble.
That was a big fumble.
It is a big fumble, but has had some fumbles.
It's his third all year. Third
Which
fumble.
Which is not bad through 16 games, but doesn't it feel like it's the same? And it kind of felt like it's the same yesterday.
Well, let's look at a specific
go to Josh
situation,
Jacobs
too.
A little later. Yeah.
A specific situation that a lot of people are talking about is the 4th and 2 late in the first half. Should you have taken the 3 points? Gabe, what would you have done?
At that point, you're looking at it. It's, you know, I think I would have kicked the field goal there. He explained it after the game as it was kind of a gut feel thing, just trying to trust his gut, felt good about it. And, you know, Jaden Reed's got to catch the ball there. Was that a perfect throw? No. But if Jaden Reed is going to be your guy, you know who makes that catch? Number one receiver. Well, he wasn't the best throw, but it was a throw that, yeah, you got to go low. That's a catch you got to make in the NFL. And so I thought that maybe the play wasn't executed the best, but it was still an opportunity to make the play. And if they make that play, nobody's criticizing LaFleur.
All right, let's hear Matt LaFleur.
You know why he did it, though? You know why he did it, Jen?
Tell me.
You know why I think he did it? It's because he knew Minnesota had the ball coming out in the second half.
Sure.
And if he didn't keep pace with them, then it would, which it did. It really got out of hand because they drove down and scored right away, and the game just kind of fell a little out of reach.
All right, let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who reacted to why he went for it on that play.
Yeah, it's just a gut thing. I mean, I've said that a million times. If you feel good about it, then you go for it. If you don't, then you're going to kick a field goal. Yeah, we thought we had a play that we liked. And, you know, Jaden went on the route. Jordan worked the weak side. It is what it is. It's a pick a side play. And unfortunately, we picked the side that ended up getting covered. But that's just, that happens sometimes. And it's not anybody's fault. They did a good job covering the one side.
Yeah, I don't want to overreact to it, Chu, because like you said, it could have gone either way. They complete it, and then he's a genius. You miss it, and then he's a fool. Obviously, that's just how these things work. But what I don't want to happen is for a guy like Dan Campbell, who always coaches, it seems, with his gut, to get in Matt LaFleur's head. Because Matt LaFleur, to me, guys, has been more of an analytics coach. He's been more of a guy that looks at the numbers and sees, you know, what gives his team the best chance. I don't want him to start being a gut guy if that's not his nature. I don't want it to be like, well, these other guys in the league, yeah, they're gut guys. They go with their gut and, you know, they live and die by the gutty decisions. I just want to make sure that that's not something Matt LaFleur is subscribing to.
Well, I mean, in fairness, I don't know if Dan, I mean, unless Dan Campbell's gut tells him to go for it all the time, because that's just what seems what Detroit does. Like, yeah, in that situation, Detroit's always going to go for it. And you know, he liked the play.
You know what?
I guess I didn't have an issue with it. Like, I think I would have gone for it, but when they went for it, I wasn't like, I can't believe they're not taking the points here. It's what the modern NFL is. Guys are going to go for it a lot more on fourth down.
I think the best thing for this team, because I don't think Washington's going to lose in Dallas, so I think they are going to Philly. I think the best thing for this team would be to barely beat the Bears and then just get everyone talking. Oh, they don't. Because that's kind of how it felt last year against Dallas. No one was picking Green Bay to beat Dallas. Dallas was solid last year. Dak mm-hmm. was second in the MVP or something like that.
Correct.
I think that might be the best route where, you know, I know they still have the Bears left, but going into that week where no one's giving them a chance. And I think that was part of the reason why they went into Dallas, because they're like, you know, what the hell of it? Hell with it. Let's just throw everything against the wall, see what works, and that's – what wound up happening.
But I also think you have to remember, like, Dallas has a reputation as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. Dallas went into yeah. that with being the team that also can't make a deep playoff run and has that hanging over its head. And so I don't feel that way about the teams that would be in front of the Packers in this playoff run, right? I don't feel like you're going to get lucky with a matchup of a team that sort of is never able to go the distance. And that's what Dallas was as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Dallas hasn't played an NFC Championship game, Chu, since you guys lost to them in 95. That was the last time yeah. they made an NFC. When all the teams ahead of the Packers, they don't have that reputation. They've all made NFC Championship games in the last 30
years. Do you think people have changed their mind, Chu? There was this whole thing, we were talking about it. Nobody wants to play the Packers. The Packers are the team that no one wants to see in front of them on their playoff schedule. Do you think that's changed after what we saw yesterday against the Vikings, or was it just specific to the matchup against the Vikings?
No. If you don't look at the box score and you don't look at the team stats, then it probably hasn't changed, because you're going to go, oh, that must have been a hell of a game, 25-27. It wasn't. This game was over. It was done. Minnesota was just trying to bleed this thing out, which they did. And they had a few mistakes, which really would have put the game out of hand. But no, I don't. Anyone that says that now, it's just. And I think the Packers, they look at themselves. If they're objective, they go, if we were to play them again, we have to play really, really, really good. And guys who don't usually contribute to that much to the team have to have big games. I think if they're being honest, because when we used to go to Dallas back in the day, we would go there twice a year, right? Mm-hmm. And we'd play in the playoffs. And we were like, I don't know if we can win. And we didn't, because we knew they were better than us.
And that's what yesterday's game, Chu, could have eliminated from this team. Because Matt LaFleur stepped up there, Jordan Love stepped up there, you know, selling that they're going to be confident no matter what in the postseason. But it's more of a, yeah, I think we can play with anyone. I think we can beat anyone, instead of, oh, yeah, we can beat anyone.
And you sort of need that proof of concept, to be honest with you. In order to convince yourself we can beat anyone, you have to have won yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have gone toe-to-toe with another yes. team in your division, top-tier NFC squad, and you had to walk out of there with the win. And that's the confidence, that builds the confidence that you can go into the postseason and surprise anybody.
But I guess this is why I'm still high on this team for next year, is because that's where a lot of this youth comes in. I mean, they make a lot of the same mistakes they've made all year. The drops, the untimely penalties, things of that nature. That's what happens when you have the youngest team in the league. These mistakes are going to happen, and this team will eventually grow out of it. I don't think it's going to happen this season, but that's, you know, hopefully next year. You're able to grow. You're not the youngest team in the league anymore. You have more veterans, and you're able to build off of what you did this year. I mean, they're tight with a lot of these teams, and they're making mistakes that young teams make, which is why it's so hard for a team that's the youngest in the league to go to a Super Bowl, go to an NFC Championship game, and do these things. So that's why I'm still high on this team for next year. And I wish they could have gotten potentially a better matchup against the Rams, against the Buccaneers. Not that those are guaranteed wins. You just feel better about going on the road against those teams versus going to Philadelphia, who looks so damn good.
Ben weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, interesting game. 7 seed going to Philly isn't all bad. Maybe they'll catch lightning in a bottle. And I'm going to stop you right there.
I mean, maybe. Sure, it's possible.
As if we're hoping for lightning. Doesn't feel like a great plan. Feel like a great strategy.
Not just lightning, but you got to catch it in the bottle as well,
right,
and not get electrocuted. It's tough.
How do we?
Go ahead, Chew.
How do we feel about Halfley to this point?
I think he is doing everything he can.
I agree with what he has.
With what he has. I think there's there's at some point, Chew, and you know this, man, like
there's a talent drought.
Yeah,
there's
a talent deficiency that they have at certain positions.
Well, we said that at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
So does that hold true that it's the players and not so much the scheme?
Well, I mean, I think the scheme is good. You've seen what the scheme can do at times. I mean, I think the scheme has worked out for the linebackers. Like, I feel better about the Packers linebackers and safeties than I have in years at those positions where it's felt like they haven't had guys there.
Yeah, but where has McKinney been?
In the back part of the defense?
Well, right. And again, we need somebody to hold down the fort back there, no question. But doesn't it feel like at the beginning of the year he was making more, like, splash plays? Does it feel like he had more of those takeaways? Does it feel like he was, like,
I mean, teams
covering?
Try to avoid him, you know? Throw away from that side.
Like, yes, that's 100% true. Thank you for answering the question.
Like, Gabe, my concern talking about next year is linebackers and safeties are nice, but your team really goes as far as your defensive line and your cornerbacks.
Well, yeah,
and if they're going to lose Jair, man, that's a big loss.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that, those linebackers and safeties, true, like you said, are nice, but the highest paid players on defenses are cornerbacks and pass rushers.
Yeah,
and
correct.
That's where they have a deficiency.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still more to get to, and we have Rob Domofsky coming up at the bottom of the hour. Whether you are a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit our great city of Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Hey, maybe you got friends coming in from out of town as they continue to enjoy the holidays. The St. Kate the Arts Hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee, with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You and your friends will enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. A question for Mark Chmura as we return here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, reacting all morning long to the Packers' loss to the Vikings yesterday that would have really eased their path in the postseason if they had won that game. I think that's why we're so frustrated this morning. It's like you had the easy button. Hit the easy button. Take it. Just click on it. And you just stunk yesterday. And then I said to Gabe, I feel like I thought that Jordan Love could make all the throws. And as I'm watching the game yesterday, I was like, oh, he can't make all the throws. And Gabe, your reaction was?
Yeah, he can make all the throws. And this happens to him from time to time. And he's a young quarterback. And it's one of the things he's going to have to continue to work on, whether it's Tom Clements or his own guy this offseason. Once he makes one good throw off the back foot, then it kind of becomes everything is off the back foot. And part of it yesterday was probably because he was getting pressured, but you got to be able to step up and avoid that and throw from a better platform more often. It's great to be able to have that in your arsenal, the different arm angles that everybody talks about, being able to throw off your back foot, but that can't be an all-the-time thing.
And they were supposed to be working on that, Tom Clements and whatnot, and his delivery and his mechanics, and it feels like, to your point, when he is in do-or-die mode, he reverts back to that idea of playground football. And that's just not a way to win in this league. You have to be fundamentally sound. You have to be strong in those areas. So, Chew, I go to the question that I teed up at the beginning. Someone on the talk and text line, Dave from Aaron, says, you said earlier this year whoever loses the second game of the season against the Lions, that they will win the third game. Do you still feel that way when it comes to the Lions and Vikings, should they face each other in the postseason?
I mean, I will, because I said that, I will take the Packers to beat, but I don't know if that's going to be the path now, because where's this game against Minnesota? Is it at Minnesota?
It's in Detroit.
Okay. No, I would take them because they would face them second. But I don't.
I got to worry about Philly first. I got to worry about Philly before I worry about a potential rematch with the Lions or Vikings.
But I'm like, would you rather play Minnesota or would you rather play Detroit? I almost would rather play.
I think it's Detroit.
Bust it up.
So I think we're rooting for Detroit next Sunday night
against
Minnesota.
Oh right,
because
that's the division.
That's the division and the number one seed.
Yeah, it's like the first time since like 1995 or something like that. Like a Week 18 matchup determines the top seed in the conference. I'll have to check the ESPN stats and information, but it's something like that.
Yeah, because that it's a standalone game. Whoever wins gets the number one seed. Whoever loses has to play the next week and is the five seed and has to be on the road.
I mean, I'm not discounting Minnesota. I mean, is that going to be a pick 'em? The only reason I say that is because I don't know how good Detroit's defense will be when it comes playoff time. I don't know who they're getting back. I thought Minnesota's D was pretty solid. I don't know who I would rather play. It's almost like I would rather play.
Early line is Detroit by 3.
Wow. Minnesota gets no love, huh?
They were. I think the Packers were favored in yesterday's game by a point, right? Or half a point.
Ended,
no.
I think
it
ended with Green Bay being favored by a point. Is where the line
did
ended.
It really?
Yeah, it went back and forth all week.
And then like, it was like something like the Vikings now have won the last 4 games when they've been the underdog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I wouldn't expect that line to be any different because both teams are more than likely going to be 14-2 going into that game. And the Lions have home field advantage, so yeah, give them 3 points.
Is the Packer game for sure at noon?
Yes.
Or could that be flexed?
Nope. They announced the schedule yesterday. The AFC North matchups are on Saturday on ESPN and ABC, and then Packers are at noon. Vikings, Lions are Sunday Night Football.
Makes
That's
sense.
All set.
And speaking of that game, guys, I did find the stat. I just went back and looked at ESPN stats and information. The Week 18 tilt between the Vikings and Lions will be the first final week matchup where the winner clinches the number one seed since 1993 when the Giants and Cowboys met. Dallas won that contest 16-13 in overtime behind Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith, who piled up 229 scrimmage yards after separating his shoulder in the first half of the game.
He only scored 16 points.
1993 is the last time that a final week matchup, right? Because the season has obviously expanded. A final week matchup dictates the number one seed in the conference.
And it's weird to think of one of them's going to be a wild card team at 14-3, which you think this is enough for the league to go, all right, we need to go to the NBA model here and then just rank them by record, which is what they should do. It's just such a no-brainer. I don't know why they don't do it.
Probably because everybody wants him to do it so bad. They're kind of the league and Roger
really?
Goodell have a little bit of
stubbornness. Is this a little Manfred band?
Maybe. Let's put it on the poll. I actually love this. Let's put it on the poll. What would it be? Should the league reseed or should divisions not matter in seeding?
Should the NFL just should playoff seeding in the NFL be determined by record?
Yes.
Because otherwise, sometimes you get like those 7-win teams.
Oh yeah, that are hosting
games.
Division
winner.
They're hosting games.
Looking at you, NFC South. I'm looking at you.
I mean, they could end up with 10 wins.
800-990-3776. We got to get to Rob Domofsky. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Talk more about the Green Bay Packers. Go ahead and weigh in on our Twitter poll. Where are you on the Seinfeld scale of concern for the Packers' ability to win the first game should they play the Philadelphia Eagles? 800-990-3776.
X-Golf located at American Family Field is open year-round. It is a fantastic place to host your events because it's such a unique event space overlooking left field inside American Family Field, and you don't even have to be a golfer to appreciate it with the bar and menu. I was out there this week and I tried the pizza for the first time out there. Yeah, I would recommend the pizza that they have on the menu at X Golf and American Family Field. But it's also a great place to go and just work on your game. I was out there. My buddy Andy Barrett was giving a lesson. That's something you can do to improve your game as well. With their state-of-the-art simulators, no better place to do it and work on your game during the winter than X Golf and American Family Field. Book your sim time at xgolfamfamfield.com.
I'm certain it will be with Rob Domofsky hanging out with us as he does each and every Monday during the went into autopilot, NFL season. Sorry about that, Rob. So, what bothered you most about yesterday's 27-25 loss to the Minnesota Vikings?
I guess, Jen, if it's the same old story, right? Like, I mean, this team is good, not great. And I mean, I don't know if we have to just accept that. But that's the reality right now is that, you know, they're a good team and it doesn't look like they're a great team.
Rob, will Jair play another game in a Packer uniform?
My guess is no, Chewy. And I don't know, like something's going on, right? Like we've all tried to find out. I think we have a lot of good reporters on the beat and nobody's got anything. So, Maybe there is nothing going on. Maybe he's just hurt. But it sure seems like there's something more than just he's hurt and can't play. But beyond that, I don't know. I don't think there's any way he plays this year, and there's no way they bring him back, right? I mean, he's supposed to make, yeah, I don't know, I think 16 or 17 million next year. He's got 2 years left on that four-year, $84 million extension. You can't pay. I mean, really, to be honest with you, you can't have a minimum salary guy that you don't know if he's going to play from week to week, and you certainly can't have one that's making that kind of money.
Is this receiving core good enough?
You know what? Gabe thought about that last night as I was leaving the stadium, and this is the, you know, this is sort of the problem when you don't have a true number one, right? Like, I mean, in a game like this where you absolutely, you know, have to get something going early, and you have a guy that you know you can get the ball to, I get the fact that they've got a lot of talented receivers, and certainly not having Christian Watson, you know, is a huge difference. I mean, look at the way the Vikings played last night. I mean, they basically, you know, sat back in coverage, you know. I mean, they blitzed too, but they did not blitz as much as they had been. I think they were about 10% less than their usual blitz rate. I think their usual blitz rate's like 20 or 38%. I think they were somewhere in the high 20s, mid-20s. So they, even though they blitz a lot, they didn't blitz as much as they usually do. So, I mean, that, you know, they're never going to draft a receiver in the first round, right? Like, nope. Let's get past that. But I don't know. I'm not sure that they have a true number one, even with Christian Watson.
Okay, so let's just one step further that thing. I watch everything that Tucker Kraft does. He's obviously tough to tackle. He gets, it seems, pretty decent, yeah, completions. He's a threat in the red zone. Why aren't they using him more in the offense? According, yeah, to yesterday's box score, I believe he had 3 targets, 2 receptions, yeah, and his average in the game yesterday, 26.5. Why don't they focus on him? Why does Matt LaFleur not call more plays for Tucker Kraft?
Yeah. Well, like, and that's a great point, Jen. I mean, and here's the thing, like, there are, every play isn't just for one guy, right? Like, I mean, there's, mm-hmm, Chewy can tell us this more, but there's option one, option two, option three, and so on within every play. Now, are they calling enough plays where Tucker Kraft is the one, or are they not? Is Jordan Love not going to Tucker Kraft enough when he is the number one? Right, like, if that makes sense. And my suspicion is there aren't enough plays where Tucker Kraft is the number one or two option. That speaks to your point, Jen, about getting him more involved. So, you know, that's my thinking on this. Without knowing exactly who who's the one on every play, it's hard to say.
The weird thing is, Rob, when it comes to him, it's like he doesn't have a bread and butter play. Like, I had like 3 bread, right, and butter plays where Homer would be like, okay, mm-hmm, this is a cat, a Fox 2 XY hook, Y stick. It seems like he's not catching the same balls. Yeah. They're not playing to his skill set, right, and running routes, what he's really good at doing. It's all like, okay, I showed this last week, so now I have to draw up a new play. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, yeah, if he runs the corner route real good, just go to him and throw it up. Dude will catch it. That's what's surprising to me.
Yeah, that is a great point because, like, I mean, you know, Romeo Doubs runs, what, the slant and the stick, yeah, route really well. Christian Watson obviously is a go route. Jaden Reed's really good, mm-hmm, on crossers. The one play that you seem to see Kraft is sort of the stay in and block for a second and then run. I guess it's a crossing route.
Shallow
cross. Right, you see him coming across, yeah, the field, but it doesn't seem like he runs the seam route, or at least they don't throw it to him on the seam route very often. I mean, that, yeah, was Jermichael Finley's go-to, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great point. I had not thought of it that way. And I think that goes back to speaking to, you know, sort of Gabe's point about not having a number one. Not having, you know, a signature play is also similar to maybe not having a number one.
Rob, what? Who do you think's better, Minnesota or Detroit?
I still think Detroit, Chewy. I know they're banged up. I just think they're more complete. I think the quarterback is a little – I trust the quarterback a little bit more. Sam Darnold holds on to the ball a long time, man, like a really long time. And now maybe that was a product of they didn't get much pass rush and he's able to hold it. But it seemed like – it seemed to me like – and I haven't watched the film yet, but it seems to me like, man, he's this close to making a mistake in the pocket. Like, and, you know, he bounces. Managed to get it off last night and you know, not take many sacks and not really throw the ball in harm's way. But when push comes to shove, I think I would trust the quarterback in Detroit more.
Well, you and I watched the same game because, to be perfectly honest with you, that was my biggest frustration in the first half was, oh, they're getting pressure. Oh, they're getting pressure. But they're not getting home. And to your point, Sam Darnold came in with one of the longest. Again, I know that it's milliseconds, right? But he was like 3.7, 3. It was high at the beginning of the season. It has gone down as the season has gone on. He is getting rid of the ball faster. But it's still over 3 seconds that he is holding onto the ball. And I was getting frustrated play by play. By drive that they weren't getting they weren't mucking up that pocket enough.
I talked to one of the scouts from another team that was scouting the game for a future potential future opponent at halftime, and I said, boy, I can't believe how long he holds the ball, and the guy goes, he's been doing that all year. It's crazy because that 2.5 seconds is like the standard, right? Like that's the base. Like, usually you get it out. So anything over three is really, really long in football terms.
What can Matt LaFleur do to get his team off to faster starts? Because in these five losses, they have 9 points in the first quarter. And he seems to then step up to the podium after the game and say, hey, this is on me. Is he too tight? Does the pressure get to him in these games? What's the, I guess, the biggest reason for all this?
Well, the they tried taking the ball a bunch. Sometimes you don't, it's out of your control, but last night they won the toss and took the ball, which I think in a difficult road environment, maybe isn't necessarily the right thing to go way to go because it's 0-0. The crowd's going to be amped big time. And you're going out there on offense when the crowd is totally psyched. Like if you defer, and go on defense first and you get a stop right away, you know, maybe it takes out of it a little. I understand the flip side is if you go down and score, you've taken the crowd out of the game right from the start. But that's when the crowd, they're not going to be out of the game during that drive until you score. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's such an incredible, and look, it's, I don't know if you've been here, Chewy, to the new place, but it's not like the Metrodome was, but it's the closest thing. It's the closest thing in the league to that. And I know everybody wants to talk about Kansas City and Seattle. There's no place as loud as
it was loud. You could hear it on television.
And maybe it's just that it's an open air press box, and in Seattle we're sealed in the press box and the windows. But man, this place is loud. It's louder than Detroit. It's louder than New Orleans. I think that whatever you think of the Vikings, they do an unbelievable job with their game day presentation because it is a factor in how difficult it makes it out of offense.
Well, and meanwhile, you got Matt LaFleur yelling at the fans about the wave, right? That was the other thing. Okay, so just throwing that out there. Rob, before we let you go, we did put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. What is your Seinfeld scale of concern? Yada, yada, yada. You look a little stressed. I'm freaking out about the Packers' ability to go to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles. Gabe and I, during the break, were going position by position. Quarterback. They got the edge on the quarterback, I think. Running back, they got the edge in the running back. Wide receiver core et al, I think they have the edge there as well. And then, of course, they have one of the best defenses in the league. Doesn't feel like the Packers win any of those matchups, but maybe I'm wrong. How should fans feel about that matchup if that's who they have to play in their first game of the playoffs?
I think it was the Kenny Rogers Roasters episode where Gary moved over to Kramer's apartment and then he started acting Kramer. And he walked in and he goes, Oh, I'm stressed.
You got to get rid of Mr. Marbles.
My rocks and cones are all messed up.
Rocks and cones. Oh, that's a shame.
All right, Rob, we appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys, we'll be seeing you.
He's Rob Domofsky. He joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every Monday after Packers games, win or losses. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you're missing out on an elite experience. Honestly, guys, it's a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue, self-service kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, very comfortable chairs, by the way, so you can watch all of your favorite games. First-class bar, restaurant, VIP deck, broadcast booth, and, of course, the giant video wall over 2,000 square feet. If you haven't been there yet, guys, you really are missing out. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie. Check them out at paysbig.com as well. I know the new year is a time when a lot of people want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness or wellness or just taking better care of ourselves. Let's be honest, fellas, feeling confident in how you look and feel isn't just for the ladies. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. From January 1st through March 31st, Quintessa is offering special packages to help you start 2025 as a more confident you. Whether it's wellness and weight loss, Botox, skincare, even IV therapy, they've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. Check it all out at myquintessa.com and make this your year to feel confident inside and out. Man, I'm up to something. Isn't it interesting, guys, how tut-tut it looks like rain, Johnny Raincloud, Gabe, is vindicated this morning for all the things he has been pointing out. Chewy, I suppose you can get a little credit on here, too.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't want the blame when we were talking about it, despite him being on the sign.
Certainly take the shot.
But however, when credit is being handed out, suddenly he's lined up right
Please,
next to
sir,
me.
Please, sir, I want some more.
If
You're like
not
Oliver
in front of
Twist
me.
In line again. isn't it interesting how I haven't seen one person this morning on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. I haven't seen one person this morning on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page saying, oh, Gabe, God, he's so negative. Man, he just always is telling us the bad things about the Packers. Because yesterday was the day, man. I don't want to overhype one game. I don't want to overemphasize one game. But it was yesterday to prove that you could hang with those
see,
squads.
Hold on,
Gabe. The problem is it's not
But
one
I'm
game.
Gloating. But I'm gloating. I'm gloating.
You are.
I am gloating. You know why, Jen? Because I created him. I created him, and then I
oh, so
unleashed
you're like
him on
Dr.
society.
Frankenstein.
Yes.
He's Frankenstein.
I'm the man behind the curtain. Look what I have
oh,
created.
Oh, Wizard of Oz? You prefer the Wizard of Oz?
Yes, you're welcome, Gabe.
Thank you.
I mean, I'll give you credit, but you're welcome.
Thank you, I guess.
Do you feel vindicated? You guys have
no.
been addressing these things that the Packers needed to focus on, the things that they needed to improve in order to hang with the top teams in the NFC. We thought that yesterday might be the game. And again, please, Packers fans, do not be blinded by the final score. We talked about it. Field goal, doink. Field goal, doink. Justin Jefferson making an incredible catch. Randy Moss-esque, one-handed, middle of the field that gets negated by a holding penalty. This could have been much worse.
But it's not just one game is the problem. This is what's happened in those five games against the teams that have been clearly better than them in the NFC. Philadelphia, Minnesota, and Detroit. This is what's happened in all five of those games, and they're 0-5. I'm still incredibly excited for the future of this team because they are young. They're making young team mistakes. They weren't quite ready to be there. You can't be the youngest team in the league every year and suddenly just, you know, vault your way up the NFC rankings. There needs to be experience. There needs to be things that players learn. And Jordan is still learning as a second-year starting quarterback. The wide receivers are still learning. So I'm still excited for this team for next year. But they just showed that, yeah, they're the youngest team in the league. They're going to make mistakes, and they're going to make those mistakes probably in the biggest games. And we saw the drops, we saw the penalties, and we saw missed tackles and all those things that had plagued this team at times this year, and they were able to overcome against inferior opponents. It's tougher to do that when you're playing the best teams in the league.
And even after this game, they're still a top-10 team.
Yes.
They're still a top-10 team, but the problem is
it stinks. They got to go to Philly.
There's only five or six that are elite where they can win a Super Bowl, and I just don't think that this team is in that discussion.
We put it on the Jen Gabe
Philly? Can they beat Philly? Yes. Can they beat Detroit? Yes. Can they beat Minnesota? Yes. They can't do it three games in a row.
Guy from Staten Island says they can beat the Eagles if they play four quarters of football. It seems they can play the lower half of the league. They can win playing two of four quarters. Also, the upper half, they need to play all four quarters. Also, it says, Chewy, forget about it. Just throwing that out there. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Where are you on the Seinfeld scale of concern? Yada, yada, yada. Oh, I'm stressed. I'm freaking out. 44% of people are saying yada, yada, yada. Badger Maniac says zero stress because we know what this team is. It's a really good team caught up in a year with a couple of elite teams ahead of them in the division. It's been a fun ride, but I have no expectations for the playoffs. They can beat anyone, but I am not expecting it. It is interesting. It reminds me a little bit of the Ashton Gentry situation. Ashton Gentry, for what he did in college football for Boise State, any other year... Probably wins the Heisman. But you run up against a generational player in Travis Hunter who plays on both sides of the ball, who is good on both sides of the ball. And so it's like, unfortunate, unlucky, as they say in the beautiful game. It feels a little like this is an unlucky year for the Packers because you are a good team having a really good season, but you've got two elite teams in your division, and that is going to spell your season.
Yeah, and that stinks in terms of the divisional seeding, but... good teams rarely win Super Bowls. It's happened. It certainly has happened. But, I mean, you got to be one of the elites. And, yeah, it'd be nice if you were a good team and Detroit and Minnesota weren't as good and you could get a home game in the postseason, but eventually you would run into an elite team that would make it difficult for your path. So, yeah, it's unfortunate in terms of the division, and that's the reason why they have to go to Philly. That's unlucky, but... they're still, I think, at least a year away with as young as they are. And hopefully they're not the youngest team in the league again next year.
Justin weighing in saying, I wanted to be clear, I never disagreed with Gabe. I agreed with him when he was complaining on Victory Mondays. Will D and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you again soon.